here. I'm going
I feel like I should.
So we're recording it right now. Welcome to Real Liberty Media. This is Ponder Gander back for more of What Matters. I'm your host, Vincent Easley. And today I have a guest. I've not connected voices in some time, other than with me and Flash and the crew here at Real Liberty Media. But today I've titled this Life and Death.
Apparently we're going to argue about dead babies now, right?
Well, no. That'll come. Oh, thank you, Grimner. I forgot to put show now. No, this is going to involve in all kinds of directions, in places that people won't be comfortable with. So,
okay. It's where I'm most comfortable.
Good. Well, I'll give you the title, and I'll give us the intro, and then introduce you. And say how you, I say Chascura, and so obviously I'm not.
When I think of it myself, I always think like Chascura, but like it's one of those, like, it's such a stupid made up name that there can't be a wrong way to say it.
I like my way better, thank you.
I mean, it sounds more foreignese to me, but whichever.
Chascura. We'll work on it.
Like, I'm from Honduras.
Are you really? You're
no, I'm not. I'm just saying it sounds like it when you say
okay.
it that way.
I was going to say, you don't even have an accent, dude. What?
I mean, I have an American accent, but...
Well, mine's Southern Fried Slash. But anyways, let me give us an introduction here, right here at Real Liberty Media. This is another Ponder Gander. And back to connecting some voices. We're going to have some discussion and get uncomfortable, maybe, with some. We're going to get into the discussion of abortion and where the parameters are, and kind of take some look philosophically and otherwise at where that is. So today,
and we're allowed to Google in the middle of this and make sure that we're on base with what the facts are, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to defer to you to bring some facts and in points to discuss.
Okay, I'm just going to defer to Google because I'm just some random asshole on the internet.
Fine.
And I want to make that absolutely clear. Like, I have no standing, I have no degrees, I have nothing. Like, I've done some interesting things, let's put it that way, but I'm not an expert. Don't take this as an expert, just take this as, if you have an argument against abortion, you should be able to beat that argument with me.
Well, I took a look at some links that you provided, just glanced over them, but not wanting to come like I've been studying for something. I just want to go on where I've been and where I'm at, and then build from there. And we'll explore and look at the information that comes out. So I have some links up that we can look at as well, and you can definitely pull in some out. But here we go. This is blurred and bloody in black and white. So I've been running in black and white. This is the last one of the in black and white series. And I thought it only fitting it be blurred and bloody. I thought it was a real good ending. So I say now, you are what you do, not what you say you'll do. That comes from Cowboy Quotes, and I used to have a link to it in there, but it was a broken link, so, and I couldn't find it. So now it's mine, the paraphrase plagiarist rides again. Be the media. Take back your future.
Something like that.
Yes, truth. Needs defense, and you can only be found, obviously, by looking, taking a ponder gander in discussion. So be the media. I'm Vinny Online, right here at Real Liberty Media. Find the support link there for especially our dedicated, long-time freakers right here at Real Liberty Media. Well, this is Friday, the 20th of September, 2019. If you're listening downstream, you can come back and find it through the RLM. There's a lot of pages over there. You'll find it. It'll be where you're listening, no doubt. And What Matters to Ponder Gander. Join the journey, and I got a play button right there to explore more in this radio writing series. So I'm taking it in. Maximum. I thought this was clever to take it in here. Max, if I can even say it. Maximum of... Yeah, I'm so clever. Maximum level of compose. Now, the best I can come up with there, other than where I found it in references, you might consider what a plumber would know, other than not biting their fingernails and paydays on Friday.
Good starting points for a plumber.
Yeah. Blurred lines, laid down low. Yes, things exist because they have recently come into existence or because they have qualities that make them unlikely to be destroyed in the past. So they are, or they will be, they have potential. Richard Dawkins says this in The Blind Watchmaker, why the evidence of evolution reveals a universe without design. I find it hard to fathom design without a designer is my position.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you should be reading his quotes from his books and not from creationist attempts at rebuttals of his books.
I believe that, was this not, I think this was from him, actually, himself that said it.
No, it sounds like an accurate quote, but yeah. It sounds like the kind of quote that gets cherry-picked by the people that want to find reasons for him to be wrong.
Oh, no. Well, I can't say that I find anything wrong in that point right there. That's a very scientific observation and statement, I'd say. That kind of exists the parameters of life as we know it.
Yeah.
So
it's... I mean, this is a conversation that I find easy to be the asshole in because I'm a former Christian and now the annoying kind of atheist if this conversation comes up. And
it will, and that's fine. Yeah. But that'll be later down the line, and certainly we'll be interjecting our what I call notions or ideas, beliefs,
okay,
things like that. I mean,
yeah, we've talked about that philosophical rejection of belief thing, haven't we?
No, not specifically, and we can cover
okay,
that.
Okay,
because
I kind of have
that.
This like deliberate philosophical rejection of belief. Like it's one of like I'm not denying that it's a thing so much as I think it's like poor mental hygiene. It's like walking around with shit in your pants kind of thing. If you have something important enough to believe, you should know it, and if you can't know it, you shouldn't pretend it's true without the absence of something compelling to make you think it's true.
Certainly, I absolutely agree. Too many times, you know, people use their faith or whatever religion and without question. And obviously, I think everything needs question, especially beliefs. I said, I was calling them notions, whatever ideas. I mean, yourself, you're going to have whatever word you want to use to describe it. Ideas, notions.
I mean, notion is probably the best because it's. That's basically all it is. It's your brain holds thoughts, and pretending the thought is the real version of the thing that's outside your head is just kind of counterproductive. Eventually, there's going to be some disconnect between what you know and what you don't know, and it just causes problems down the line. So just, like, I think the best thing to do is just accept that, yes, you probably understand some things about what a phenomena is that you're talking about, but you can't know everything about it by definition. So there's just going to be gaps in your knowledge.
Yes, supposition is an uncertain belief. Well, that ties that right there. I mean, that's what we're going to have, right? We're going to have...
and so like bringing that back to the abortion thing, that's why I think it's kind of problematic to say that I believe this is murder of a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a not black and white issue. It's a very difficult... Because if you're a potential mother and you don't want to have a kid, why are you going to bring any pregnancy to any kind of term where it's going to like have a baby that results? It's just one of, you want to prevent it. You don't want to have any part of it. And so like to call it murder when what's being extracted, if anything, is usually a lump of goo, it's just a misuse of the term murder. It doesn't apply here because there's not an actual victim. It's like spitting. Is the spit a murder because you have viable cells in your saliva that could be cloned and turned into a person? No. Right?
Well, I will say...
Am I an asshole for thinking that way?
You certainly believe think as you will, and that's where we're going to come down the line. And obviously, we're not going to agree on all the things.
Well, do we agree on this part at least?
Well, I will say that life begins when the culmination comes together. I mean, it's not...
So the life begins at conception thing.
I'm going with conception. Yeah, I'm going to take...
So is the conceived organism a viable, independent organism?
No, but neither is a one-year-old baby.
Well, at what point is a human a viable, independent thing?
Well, some people might question that, and some people they know, do they ever grow up and become...
What's that parenting quote that it's just the first 40 years of it that are hard?
Yeah. So there you go there. I mean, what do you do, postnatal abortion at 21?
Yeah, what was it, the South Park episode where Cartman's mom wanted to have a 40-second trimester abortion?
I don't see it.
You don't? Oh, man, that was back in the day. But, yeah, she wanted to have a 40-second trimester when her son was 8, abortion, and then she got all the way to, at the time, Bill Clinton's White House, and then somebody corrected her and said, adoption, not abortion.
What was that, South Park, you said?
Yeah, that was one of the earlier seasons. I don't remember which. It's been too long since I watched it.
I went many, many years with never watching an episode of South Park until, it's been over a decade ago now, I guess. But the first one I saw was on the Mormon, the one about Mormon.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic. That's a really good episode.
I remember that one. I think religion is personal, and as long as a person can demonstrate what it is they're supposed to uphold in their ideology, then it's certainly fine. But when it comes to force of will or told what to and what can't to, be done.
I don't know. I think if we have a basic standard of, like, your religion shouldn't be an excuse for you to murder people, like,
right.
The basic standards of rule of law and justice type stuff, like, that's not unreasonable, is it?
Not at all, no. And
we know instinctively that the religion should not be above reproach, and that it should be held with checks and balances just like all humans are, right?
Yeah, and even more so, I'd say, even to higher standards of accountability, religion and people...
Well, can it meet those higher standards?
I think that they ought to be... stand the test putting it to the test, to say, you know, what are you, what does your ideology represent, what do you do, I mean, what are your works, does your, even, you got to even take it down to the ideology in the heart, does your belief of that religion promote killing, do you use it as a prop for war? And you know, there's godless religions too, and don't think that there's not.
If you look at the Soviet system, they basically set themselves up like a giant Catholic church, but then they also had to play the role of both God and devil. Or look at North Korea now. It's kind of the same. Like, do you realize that Kim Jong-un's mythology is that he was born of, or no, Kim Jong-il, the guy before him, like the second of the three glorious leaders thus far, he was apparently born of a virgin, and like all of the birds took flight in North Korea and flew around to signify it type of thing. I mean, is this on your radar?
No, I didn't know, but I'm not surprised.
Okay. I mean, we can Google this and verify. Like, here, I've got the chat up. Let me pull up.
What are we at? Somewhere around the 12th or 14th Dalai Lama? I think actually I have a link over here that I had intended to pull a part out of.
10 myths that are facts in North Korea. Kim Jong-il invented the... I mean, this is from September 2015. I mean, you want to go through this?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is one of those dumb pop culture top 10 lists, apparently from India. 1. Kim Jong-il had a supernatural birth. Move over, Jesus. Based on Kim Jong-il's official biography, he was born on North Korea's most sacred Mount Mount Baekdu. At the moment of his birth, a new star formed and illuminated the sky. The season suddenly changed from winter to spring, and a double rainbow appeared. I mean, yeah, number 2, Kim Jong-il is a fashion icon. 3, the world loved Kim Jong-il. 4, Kim Jong-il invented the hamburger. Master golfer, never used a toilet. Yeah.
Quite the guy.
Yeah, it's quite interesting when you see stuff like this happening now, today, with people that are like you and me, that, you know, if they escaped North Korea, they went to South Korea, they spend a year or two recovering, eating hamburgers, getting their strength back type of thing. You know they wouldn't think this way.
Yeah, I can't imagine. But people do believe the strangest of things, don't they?
I think the same applies to basically all of the world's religions. They basically all agree about that, about each other. They can't all be right.
Well, no, certainly not. But you can be right partially in places, all right?
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to be
the problem is that they set up false premises for understanding what you are and what your place is in the universe that give you a giant tactical disadvantage for dealing with reality. So it's just one of those, as much as I want to say live and let live and just let people do what they want, there are real problems with it that need to be addressed. Like, how many pedophiles are hidden by the Catholic diocese? There's a real number there that nobody knows, and that's a problem.
That's a very big problem, and way past overdue of being exposed. There's a breakoff that I recently found about, 2017 anyways, but they're called Traditional Catholics, and they have the Pope as the Antichrist and absentia, I think's the word for it. I found
this.
The seat is empty. In other words, so they're not they've broken off from the Catholic Church, the main one. They don't recognize him. They say that he's the Antichrist. But there's so many. Interpretations of all this and that. So I mean, we'd be running in big circles trying to run all that down. But
the thing is, you can run it to a complete circle. You can reasonably figure out what there is to a mythology and what the basis of it is and figure out whether or not that specific God is real. So it's like, I have this tagline that you'll see me throw around a lot, like whether or not there's a God, it's not from Christian mythology. Like, that ship has sailed. You can do the research. You might not be psychologically able to admit that kind of thing to yourself because you might have, all sorts of normal, natural reasons to be loyal to that, as like the way that you still connect with your grandmother who's passed on and you hope to see her in the afterlife type of thing. Like, those are reasons. They're valid reasons for it being a religious person, but they're just not reasons that have anything to do with the factual nature of it.
Yeah, they're called the comfort doctrines, I would say. So you won't find me bound in any constraints of any church as far as religiosity. I believe in free will, and I in fact believe that we are judging God ourselves in who He is and whether He be right or wrong, and that's where we sit in with ourselves is to find that right and wrong. Let me go over here. Somebody's I was gathering some stuff here. Hello in chat. And this other one's flashing. Sorry, I'm very distractible at flashing lights. Who's saying here what? The guest is too loud.
I'm always too loud.
Yeah? Am I too low? I said I have my mic down a little bit. Which
I just turned the gain down on mine a little bit. Is that any better, guys?
Well, you'll see as it comes down. It'll take a minute or so. Well, I'm down at 34. Maybe I'll come up and see if I can. I usually run at 50, but that's kind of loud. Yeah, Grim says he expected you to be loud and fuzzy. All right, let's see. Let me go back where I was at. Okay, I was capturing a link over here, and I'm putting it. I magnet it as I go along. But I'll have to come back to that. Here, let me read this. This is from the 14th Dalai Lama of Tibet. So I came across this, and I think it was shared out of the... it might have been Anti that shared it into the chat. But anyways, I've been having this held out here for a while to bring to air. And it says, it's really the real pictures, the real picture we need to see in front of us. Just because 5 minutes after your birth, they decide your name, nationality, religion, and sect, and you spend the rest of your life defending something you didn't even choose, doesn't make you a religion judge. Nobody can solve the issue, and certainly not prayers. We need to solve the problems, as the Dalai Lama states. We are asking God to solve it. It is illogical. God would say solve it yourself because you created it in the first place. Well, I find a lot to agree in that. And in the effect,
I don't know,
of,
it looks kind of like he's the victim of his culture in that. Because it's like, I definitely did not stay my parents' religion the whole time growing up.
No, I've explored a lot of different religions, in it, from Islam and Buddhism and the many different types of Christianity, spiritualism and whatnot, and having a look-see at all of it in journey, taking a look. You know, and what the common thing to find is what's the right part in it. I mean, I think we all have a voice inside to tell us what's right. You know, this is a 420 Vine time. I have to post over here to the chat. And we're going to have celebratory weed time.
Hang on. Are you taking a break and smoking weed?
Not yet, but I'm typing it in to the chat over here. Because it's 420.
Well, you don't get to take one of those breaks without me.
It's 420 somewhere. And I might be late. Let's see if I am. Can I get it in? Can I get it in before it passes? I did. 420 somewhere. And we have bots to help us out here. And Smartass fires up the bubbler and passes it around. And we've got Bahia Blackhead Bud from Barman. Thank you, thank you. Well, I'm going to light up.
I'm going to step away and grab my vape pen real quick, because that's the kind of thing I can have in here.
All right.
I'll be right back.
All right. Now, back to retail. I'll clip that link over there and add it in. So here I am, and I'll come down where I'm at in the radio log. And this goes back to Hal Anthony in response to his broadcast a couple weeks back, and so I still have links to add there to bring that together. He responded to me in saying, apparently principle and responsibility are not popular where breads and circuses are made readily available to create the social equivalence of a Labyrinth Junk Lady. That's hashtag Labyrinth Junk Lady. So that's behind the woodshed, and I want to come down. Hey, I'm in the wrong spot. Let me go over here before I got it open and not an edit. And scroll back down. Here I am. Okay, so, man, I played with this for so long and changed it 100 times, and I still don't like it. Okay, so I respond to Hal. He's here Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern behind the woodshed. That's loud. What you gonna do with all that junk in the trunk, I said. And in response to that, I took all his words and broke them apart, give example, and laid out some type of notion I might have of what it is I'm looking at. So responsibilities, busyness, rouse the bee's buzz. The toil and gain of life's daily bread. So bread and circuses is in there, so that's put together, bread. And then circuses rouse crowds to glee. The pain-drawn frown, the responsibility to suffer, as the sad face of a clown, is just in only ordinary and everyday businesses principle. Obtain the need, that's the bread. The circuses is the creed, the disdain. Want ruin made to create societal acceptance. And we all listening here live at least know about the how that comes to be. Obtain the need, the breads and the circuses, the creed. Now, a maze. So we're talking about the labyrinth, and there's the maze. And I have it to be meant as, or a maze meant, a ruse. A muse meant a ruse. Arousement, a reaction. So popular apparent principle and responsibility available equivalence is what was found. Is a wonder in a wanderland, I say. And from Ocean Man, he says, take me by the hand and lead me to the land that you understand. I'm trying to figure it out. It's a lost lingo, and I have here.
Like I said, dude, you have a future as a Canadian rapper.
a Canadian rapper. I don't know if I should feel complimented or not. We got a couple of Canadians here. They ain't bad. I like old Frumpy. I believe he'd make a fine American. Sure would like to get him down here one day and keep him. But here I have
the best of Americans, the immigrants.
Oh, yeah, well, them too. I'm talking about...
No, I mean, he started in Canada and he came here. He'd be an immigrant even if he was white.
No, we'll give him a pass and let him straight on in as American.
Hang on, you don't give a pass to the not-white ones?
Yeah, I do that too. Absolutely. I can tell you many stories in Mexico and out and living and partying and friends from all parts of the world. Started out and really getting a taste of the difference that come about in the world in Southern California and starting in the mid-80s. So that was... I really liked it. I got to learn a lot and come to understand. But I have here from a few years ago, Circle, our very own, made this for me. And as I took words together, and she made a big long picture, and it's so cool. It's a lost lingo. It's words and communication. It's emojis. Emojis have become a favorite rhetorical weapon. And this bleeds over, so I'm going to be having a hard... Oh, let me just blow it up so I can really see it for sure. Hold on, and I'll see what somebody's saying. I already got it blowed up to 125. All right, here it is. Let me try it again. Emojis have become a favorite rhetorical weapon of choice, claimed by some as a sign of how the culture has degraded. Say what you will about it not being a proper language, but I like it. By words or weird faces in type or strange places, has language lost its luster? What do we know or think we know? What's being said and how can we say it? We might be saying the same words, but till we speak the same language. It's on and on and some more, and I want to go down to the very end of where from Jack Homo from Devo. He says, are we not men? They tell us we've lost our tails, evolving up from little snails. So there we are, in between the twixt and the twain of where we're at and where we're going. Can't be nowhere else but where we're at. Did you get all figured out over there? Chascura.
Yeah, I'm all set, dude. Good. I've been over here vaping the whole time. I've been listening to your poetry. And also, I've got the point to add that, I mean, some of my linguist friends count emojis as an actual discrete language apart from other things. Because it's one of those, like, if you speak Italian and your friend speaks Spanish, you can kind of half-ass it to each other. But if you're, like, you're speaking Thai and your friend speaks Russian, you can get emojis across and still have a means of communication.
I agree. Yeah, I think the language has evolved and you go along. You know, I mean, even the English language is... We wouldn't even understand it so many years ago.
It goes back further than you'd think. It's if Shakespeare spoke English with his own accent today, like there are recreations of that kind of accent and that kind of English, and it basically sounds Australian to me.
Oops, okay, I think I'm back there. I killed my mic. There's so many different variations in the English. I like to call not what I speak English, but American, and that Southern in style.
American English.
American, yeah, there you go. Well, listen, let's go in and let's get bloody a little bit. I've got some links over here. Let me pick out one. Here's questions and answers on late term abortion. These were some links that you shared with me. They'll be in the blog. From Charlotte.
I'm not sure if I shared any specific links. I don't have like a giant roster of these links, but what happens is I get into these conversations often enough that I'm very used to Googling and finding something similar to what I found the last couple times. Mm-hmm. So like the late term abortion is a really easy example for people to get angry at, and almost nobody does the due diligence and figures out that that's not a contraceptive thing. It's only ever used for medical emergencies. And it's only an issue because of religious motivations to ban abortion.
Why is the baby being killed as it comes out of the wound in the latest of term abortion? As
so late term abortion refers to second and third trimester abortion. Most normal, like contraceptive abortion, where you're trying to not get pregnant and you didn't want to get pregnant in the first place and you're not trying for a baby and you just want this out of you, that happens either immediately with a pill or at about 7 weeks with whatever kind of surgery they need. So that's like, there's not something that's really a coherently human thing to get murdered at that point. What happens later on is either it's like an ectopic pregnancy where the baby is a normal baby, but instead of implanting inside the uterus, it implants in the fallopian tube. That will rupture the fallopian tube and kill the mother.
Yeah,
like, that's just not an option. So that baby has to come out or the mom dies.
Yes, that happens. There's medical times that there has to be a choice.
Yeah, and so like that's a category of medical choice that exists, and it's not up to religious idiots to question competent doctors trying to save lives. They're not trying to end the baby's life. They're trying to save the mother.
I'm over here typing. I'm trying to find the procedure.
I mean, if I'm wrong on this, find me an example of a contraceptive late-term abortion. Find me a single one. They're just not out there as a category. The kind of person you have to be in order to do that kind of thing to a baby that you have carried for 6 months is just like you're a sociopath at that point, and you're not going to get pregnant and keep it to that point in the first place if that's the kind of person you are. And even if that kind of person wanted to have an abortion, isn't it better for them to?
Well, I don't know that that's the first answer, certainly. I would say not the first answer, certainly.
No, of course.
Because they
like, don't
want a baby.
You don't just casually murder a baby.
Yeah, they mean, but there's unfortunately, the way the world is, and that all comes from choice, people, you know, fall in to the crags, and, you know, babies or in mothers that are on drugs and whatnot, and that when they get caught, when they go to have the baby, then, you know, then they've got to either do or die or give up the child. So
yeah, and what percentage of people that have been on crack or heroin that you've met or that you've heard of have been able to just kick it and go cold turkey?
Me?
Yeah, have you met people like this? I've met heroin addicts. I've met people that have quit and successfully stayed off it for years.
Yeah, I was a professional drug user for a portion of life, and I've known many. I had a really good friend, like a brother, Frankie. He's man, alcohol was his downfall. He'd get on that, and you know what? He gets, you know, all straightened out in life. What a run of luck! This guy come in to a couple $1 million, and what did he do? I mean, it was too much for him.
Did he drink at all?
Well, he was 5 years sober, I believe it was, or it might have been just over, and
yeah,
fell off, boom, and what did he do? Well, he's going to the doctor and, you know, not doing street drugs. He's getting pills from the doctor, which are quicker than anything on the street.
Yeah.
So I wasn't there, but I see it played in my mind. And he was there feeling sorry for himself and started eating pill after pill, and there he went.
Yeah, that's a pretty common pattern. I mean, it's a damn shame, dude. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I've seen it. Me and him ran the streets together, had to own a portion in the game. But partial, this is, I've got a link here. And so I went to National Right to Life, which the other one I saw was NPR, so I'd put those two in contrast. I'll start here. And what is partial birth abortion? It's the procedure where they pull out a living baby feet first out of the womb and into the birth canal, except for the head, which they purposely keep lodged just inside the cervix. Then it punctures the base of the baby's skull.
Yeah, it's basically trying to end any experience of any nervous system that is there, so the baby doesn't suffer if it can.
Yes, and I know there's other ones where they go in there and suck the baby out, and
The sucking the baby out thing, what they're actually doing is they're trying to scrape out the inside of the womb itself.
Yeah.
Because there's a lining that gets formed, and that's actually what gets ejected every month with the menstrual cycle. Uh-huh. So that stuff, that lining has to come out, and, yeah, I mean, in the old days, they would basically stick a vacuum cleaner up there and pull that all out, because that's how you would also pull out the pregnancy, because it's something that's so small that you can't actually find it.
It's a form where they go in there in either with the vacuum and also with the forceps, and they go in there and they break the little baby apart up inside.
But I also have to add the footnote. This is kind of old school. This is like what they would have done in the 30s.
Okay.
This is not like modern conventional abortion stuff. This is like if you are far enough along and you just like didn't know it was available and you're having the latest possible abortion, maybe something like that would happen. But almost all of... I mean, first, what you have to understand in the first place is how difficult it is for humans to get pregnant and how easy it is for humans to have miscarriages. So if you want to talk about abortions, we have to talk about, like... I forget what the number is. It's something... It's just mind-boggling. We should Google it. It's the normal rate of miscarriage where the egg gets fertilized by the sperm and it goes down and it's in the cervix or in the uterus and the body just ejects it like a normal menstrual cycle anyway. That's a lot of pregnancies. And that's why most women won't announce when they first get pregnant, because they're waiting to see if it actually takes.
Right. All right,
if we're going to talk about saving the babies for God, we have to talk about how many babies God is killing.
Well, I can come back into that point, but no, I would go back to say that we are all agents of free will, and God...
Well, how much God, free will? How God free is it?
To do as you will, for good or bad.
Well, how much? Can I choose to fly and fly? Well, it's limited. We can't do that, right?
That's not... Yeah, you're...
I can't even choose to not like thick butts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to keep it real here. I mean, you have the right to do it within your ability, whatever you will, whether it be good or bad, whether you choose to do harm or to do good, all right?
To the extent that you don't infringe on anybody else's attempts or abilities to do that for themselves.
And that's when it becomes a wrong. So
when it robs them of the decision, or it takes away their health, or their perceived assessment of how their life is going, their happiness, for lack of a better word.
Well, I'll come into that there. Well, let me just go ahead and do it now. So at this point, I mean, there is what you would call... where you come in to stand in the gap, in a sense that if somebody does not have the ability to defend themselves, then should not one come to stand in defense of that person? As for example, myself in Bunkerville in 2014 at the Bundy Ranch standoff, where a couple of hundred federal agents came armed and ready to kill these people, and hundreds and hundreds that day, and over the weeks, thousands of people came in support, and it really changed the course of history. I think in the West, at least, it's postponed it. Now, I was a witness during the federal trial. It started in 2017. It'd be a couple of years ago here coming up this next month. But and again, we went there to report, and so that's what I kind of do here, is just make a record and stand and give an account, and I think we all should have stand to account, because in our actions, if we do wrong, then we need to answer to that against by the wrong person. Then we get over into this other area where people take positional authority. They reign from seats of decision and positions of power that they do not keep and maintain the no harm interaction there, stopping. They actually bring about harm, and I could cite many cases on that, the government interference. But what is peace, and where does it come from? Well, it's a peace of settlement, and that's found in law. So law is needed, and actually is it right here in front of me? I have to that to add in about the law. Where's it at? Down to the bottom. Yes. If law is laid waste and order destroyed, No poor man can survive when he is robbed. Justice does not address him. So that in from Miriam Lechtheim. It's from Ancient Egyptian Literature, Volume 1, The Old and Middle Kingdoms. While I'm there, I'll go ahead and finish out this other set of words laid out. Laid down, I say at the end, laid down low. And I say, ticks and tocks, bits and fits of life's little knocks come, big timely hits. Born in time, you better hurry. Thinking of gifts, not giving away. Looks good together. Don't close your eyes. Time is short. Corked in a bottle. The good and bad, timely in manner. Life unafraid. Escape alarm and confusion. Minute by minute, you're almost there. Give a suit in a timeless manner. Awaken in time to look in the mirror. Concerned in measures, watching its cries, going for broke, inheritance gambled, lost choices and the cost more than the dollars. Mean time of Greenwich. That's what time that was set in. The meantime of Grimmage. To take off on the green. I can't say it, can I? Greenwich. Meantime. Yeah, that. But hey, let me say it again. Meantime of Greenwich. Grimmage. Grimner. It's sound toned. And it's laid down low. How will that sound terrible? Maybe it didn't as good as it looked to be. But anyway, it's there in black and white. Laid down to go. Now, where I left you off at?
Something before another Canadian rep.
Yeah.
See, I see okay, circumcision has come up in the chat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's one of those dumb ideas, too. Was like, hey, we're made in the perfect image of God, but let's just snip the tip off our dick, right?
Yeah, just traditions, aren't they?
Or, I mean, other parts, depending on what kind of circumcision we're talking about. But at least, like, if you look at some of the really ugly history that's out there, like, the way that, I mean, there are still some farming traditions now where the farmer will take the animal's eyes out so it can't wander away from them.
Wow.
Like, that stuff exists. Like, it could be a lot worse than it is. At least they're just doing the tip and not, like, half of it.
I'm going to hit this just in case it ain't. There's the title. I'm going to fit it back in. I thought Grimner did post it. Thanks, Grimner. Double sure. And yeah, it paid in dividends. Now, I want to go back to, because it's too easy to get over here to split hairs. Now, the majority of abortions are done as
what we call, contraceptive is the word.
Yeah. Post-contraception?
No, contraceptive. So, post-conception. So after the act of conception, where the sperm fertilizes the eggs, has happened, and you have something to actually, like, get out of your body before it turns into a baby, that's the morning after pill, the RU486 or whatever it is that everybody's heard of these days.
Yeah, so it's basically people not being responsible in their reproduction.
I mean, it's kind of people not being responsible if they decide they don't want a baby but don't take the pill, isn't it?
Well, there's into splitting hairs because it's never the same answer.
No, hang on. It's one of those, like, it's not a crime to take a pill and basically eject a little bit of phlegm in an early period, right?
Well, I'm not going to say that what's legal is No.
Well, I'm not talking about what's legal either. Let's talk about what's right and wrong. So is there a victim here?
Yeah, the baby.
What baby?
The baby that's in the belly.
What baby is in the belly?
The baby that's growing.
Describe it to me.
The baby that's in there growing. I won't give you medical.
But no. How long? How far along are we?
Yeah, we are.
Day after? Is it a baby?
We're let's we can't go down this road and come out as in agreement. So, I mean, we are really running
well,
this into a circle.
If I'm wrong, I'll change my mind. How's that?
I'm not here to prove anything to you. I'm here to, in discussion.
If there is something to prove, prove it.
I'm not here to prove nothing. I'm here to
well,
have discussion.
I mean, let's look at this, though.
Well, look,
I'm not trying to say that you're wrong about anything, but
there,
let's look at
I can tell you that a little bitty baby, no bigger than a peanut, it looks like a little tiny little bitty baby in there. I can't tell you how old.
So it looks like it makes it a full human.
Well, yeah, and growing. Like I said, a baby born, you know, that when are they able to take care of themselves? Where, you know, say a colt hits the ground and just in no time it's up on its legs and running. Yeah. Where does all this come
from? The natural condition of the colt is that if it doesn't start running, it gets eaten by the wolf, right?
Yeah, and he's not going to, survive without the milk. It doesn't go to eating grass, right?
We're also mammals. We also eat milk, right?
Yeah, we all flesh is grass is part of my broadcast.
Is a baby the size of a peanut able to take in milk?
Well, it takes in nutrients from the mother. It just moves.
No, that wasn't the question.
Yes, listen, it is taking in the nutrients from the mother. It's fed
that's
to the umbilical
cord. That's a separate thing.
Now, when it comes out, then it goes to milk, and then what?
That takes 9 months to get to that point.
Well,
is the mother obligated to carry the baby that she didn't want for 9 months?
Well, I'd say if she comes to the point of sitting there, especially you're looking at 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, 8 months, when's a good time to cut it off? We can kick this back and forth.
My thinking here is that when the baby starts to have perception is a good time to cut it off and say, okay, this is going to experience the end of itself.
Well, I've seen where the little bitty tiny babies inside have all kinds of feelings.
You've seen motion, but is that the same as perception?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
So, have you ever moved when you're asleep?
Absolutely.
So, were you aware of it?
No, I'm sometimes. Sometimes I dream while I'm awake. I can do that.
We're both smoking weed, so I'm not going to criticize that too much.
I have incredible dream life. It's quite fantastic. And I get in and take my dreams on a trip knowing I'm there. You know, so, let me define. Here's from Sock Puppet. At that stage, it makes it a life form, a living soul. And this is how, people say religion.
So,
wait a minute, hold on. Religions say there's a body, soul, and spirit. Well, I'm in complete disagreement. In studying from the original language and through the Bible, that the word hell is used from different definitions. And basically,
do you know that hell was invented in the New Testament?
Well, it goes back into the Greeks before that, so...
Well, yes, but there isn't a biblical pre-New Testament hell. Like, there is just not a concept of it. Like, there is a place called Sheol, which is like the underworld for Jews to sleep in.
The grave, yeah. The Abraham's bosom. Yeah, I'm aware of all that, but like I said, we can't get off chasing all that. Let me define the soul, body, soul, and spirit. Well, you have this life force, and one day it leaves you, and your body goes back into the ground. This life force that makes us alive. You know, scientists are looking to this day for the God particle to try to give form and fashion and name to it. So,
that sounds really fancier than what the scientists I've heard describe it as.
We're alive and we're not alive. There's no on the other side that anybody can come back and say other than perhaps. Electrical images, impulses that came out of the brain after near death. But can you discount a person's experience, whether it be supernatural? You cannot, because you cannot stand
you can,
there.
Actually.
No,
we
you
know
can't.
What the effect of drugs are. We can just say, hey, we have a basis for these experiences to come out of a mind that is a normal, well-functioning, human, rational mind.
Well, you can have a means, but you cannot have the totality and exception. So you have no idea.
Totality and exception of what?
You cannot say that. I forgot where I'm going with that. But what I'm saying is, we're keep running off. Let's stay in one track here. Now, what is the soul? It is the combination. You say, what is the life force? What scientists say that they got way more complicated about it. Well, what it is, that you're alive or you're not. There's a spark in there. You know, you can look at Frankenstein and any number of media into the zombies genre and all these ideas of what life and where it comes from. You can bring it back. And where do you go after you're dead? Yeah, I believe that you're dead and you're in the ground, and that's it. Now, there's a what I have in what is a faith, but an unseen hope. And wherein does that lie? Any problem of what I believe, albeit whether it be my beliefs then took action against people that, right, we was already talking about that. So, anyways, I think maybe one day I will be raised up to be judged in a future point in the history of this universe. So does that change anything? Does that mean that I'm forcing anything or claiming you
no.
to... Do I say you have to believe, and because you don't believe, then you're wrong? Well, look,
I think that sounds a bit like a supernatural North Korea.
Well, I believe in God. No problem saying that at all. I have.
I didn't say there was a problem with that. I just said it sounded like Kim Jong-il.
Well, not really, because I didn't invent the hamburger, first of all.
So. You're right. God did not invent the hamburger.
All right. So what is life?
We agree.
You go back. You're a body, a soul, in the spirit that makes you. So what is a soul? That's a cow. That's a dog. That's a human being. It's a living being. It's
Well, what is it about the cow
soul.
That makes it have a soul?
It doesn't have a soul.
There's a physical thing that we know is in the cow that we know if we change the state of, we change the state of the cow.
I don't think you listen. It is not.
No,
not,
I understand. No.
It does
I
not
have
have
a point
a soul.
About the soul thing.
It does not have a soul. It is a soul. Like in the early 1900s, when a ship went down, they'd say 500 souls lost at sea. That means a life, the living being, that culmination of life.
What
body.
Part of the life is it that gives it the soul? What is it,
it doesn't
that we
give
refer
it,
to?
It doesn't give it. It does not.
Right?
It does not give a soul. See, you're trying to put me in a box of definitions from some other religion.
No, I'm not trying to put you in a box. I'm
saying
I'm just trying
soul,
to agree on a term.
A soul is a living being. That's what a soul is. A living soul is a living being.
So, does a cow have a soul or not?
It doesn't have a soul. It is a soul. It's while it's alive. Until we eat it, then it's meat. Yeah,
okay,
all
but
flesh.
But if we take the leg of the cow and the cow survives other than having its leg gone,
then you
and we eat the leg, and that's no longer part of the cow's soul, is the cow still there?
It's not. Yeah, man, you're not understanding.
No. I'm saying,
it does
like,
not
what
have
parts
a soul.
Do we have
there's
left
no,
if we
there's
all
no
of
portion.
The other parts?
If you were kept alive with only your head, like from the travels of Marco Polo and was it Turkey where they put him in a big vat of oil. Let me come
back. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So anyways, and pluck their head off as oracles, right? I had a word for that, something about a seer maniac, something like that, a searing maniac. I'd have to go look up the word. Anyways, yeah, a prophet, of prophets or something to that effect. No.
So we agree that the brain is probably the basis of experience, right?
Yeah, but you're not going to live very long without the other vital.
No, it has infrastructure to keep it alive and move it around and make sure it gets nutrients and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's what the body is, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But if we refer to, 300 souls lost at sea, we are referring to the 300 minds that were lost. Those are still souls, right?
No, it's not the mind neither. The soul is the total experience of the body being alive, and whether you have every piece of you cut off and until you expire,
it still sounds like consciousness to me. It's the mind that knows
consciousness. Yeah, it's consciousness. You have that, but you can also be alive without consciousness, right?
Well, yeah. I mean,
a
city can still be a city if it doesn't have any people in it.
That's right. Yeah. So, right.
Yeah, and it's one of those, like, I just think of it like that. That's literally the metaphor that I use in my head to think about it. It's like your brain is like a city and the consciousness is like the work day of the people going 9 to 5 and doing all their shit. And, there's different states of consciousness. You have, like, the traffic jams where, like, everything's trying to get home and anybody who's seen a city can kind of work out this metaphor for themselves. Like,
so,
there's the different nutrients moving around and stuff.
Let me ask you this then. And this is a setup. I'll just warn you up front.
Go ahead, set me up.
Do you know all there is to know? Certainly not. I can answer you that question.
Oh, fuck
right
no.
Now.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know half? No, certainly not. Let's take it down to a reasonable number.
Well, do you know what the definition is, according to Socrates, of an educated man?
Well, I'll let you tell and not ask questions. As we
it's one of the. It's such a great quote. It's not my quote. He gets the credit, obviously,
right. Well,
but it's somebody that knows
the
limits of their own knowledge.
Okay, well, I'll hold on to that. That's a good one, but bring it back to me in a minute. Let me ask you this, and like I said, it's a setup. So let's take it down to, let's say you know 1% of everything there is to know, and that would be an extremely unobtainable
number.
Yeah, that
would be a lot.
Yeah. So let's give you credit. In you only knowing that minute amount, what are the possibilities that are in the rest of what you don't know?
Apparently 99%.
Right. So in that 99%, you cannot say that there is no God. There is no creator.
Well, you can say, of the claims made about specific gods, that you can know for sure that based on those claims and the purported evidence for them, that those specific gods won't be in the set of gods that you might potentially find.
Well, you know, it's the, what's that little game where they tell the tale and pass it down the line?
The game of telephone, yeah.
Yeah, so if you see all a bunch of commonalities, then you trace them back, and you could bring all this stuff together, into as time goes along and passed along in history and religion, and, there's a common core that goes back to some point. So one
the problem
say,
is
hold
that
on,
when you start doing
stop,
this kind
stop,
of research.
Stop a minute, listen. This, I
tell go ahead, you're
yeah.
fine.
So
this is a pretty common thread. But
yeah,
I'll let you
find
finish
back,
and articulate it.
You can find back into ancestry where ideas come from. Now, to say that one is right and the other is wrong, well, when you find that there's a thread of truth that winds and binds them together, in a sense, then you can see a consistency, you know, idea, and people speaking as to experience. Now, a lot of people, if they said to you, yeah, I talked to God, you'd say, oh, yeah, you're crazy. But let me come back to that question.
I wouldn't necessarily say that.
Well, let me come back and ask you this question now. You say there is no God, and I say that by you saying that, you have declared yourself God and being all-knowing. So you
well,
cannot...
Well, that's
you
just
cannot,
one of the fuck-ups of Christian
yeah,
mythology.
You cannot... you're trying to put it on religion.
I'm not to say that you're a Christian or any... Like, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but this is a very common theme of, like, okay, you have rejected my God, therefore you are trying to be God, and that's bad, and I get to say you're bad now.
No,
it's, just, it's very simple. I'm not saying I'm God. I'm just saying that's not.
Well, I know a lot of the fallacies used in the defense of ideology. So,
I mean, if you find any fallacies that I'm making, please tell me.
Well, hold on. Let me catch up over here and chat. So, Grimner, where is that at? All that, and I want to copy that too to put in. All that lives, or all that lives, and he said this to Ferdon. All that lives, lives forever. Only the shell, the perishable, passes away. And it went out. Let me scroll up. Hold still, third chat. I'm going to add
the
that
spirit
in.
Spirit is
blog.
Without end.
It jumped out.
Eternal, deathless. From the Bhagavad Gita.
Good. I'm
yeah, it's a famous quote. It's one that I don't think is factually accurate from the Bhagavad Gita, but that doesn't mean that the Bhagavad Gita is not an awesome book.
Yeah, I don't personally take this... Well, I believe a person's alive as long as there's somebody that holds their memory, in a sense, right? And until there's none to remember their name, then they cease to exist, unless it's recorded elsewhere for somebody to find and pull up.
I mean, that's kind of a common thought.
Yeah.
I'm not... It's a nice thought. It would be kind of nice if it was true, mm-hmm. but I don't know what the basis is.
Yeah. Well, you can't say that a person's religion experience. If I was to say a Mormon...
Actually, we haven't talked about what I actually say about people's religious experiences yet. Well, it sounds like you're assuming that I just reject them out of hand.
We did a little bit earlier. We touched on that in saying that...
Well, I think the religions themselves are false, not that the people don't have the experience.
Yeah,
there's a difference.
Yeah, it was what I was saying earlier that we touched on is the personal experience of an individual with their actualization with God in connection, whether it be a supernatural, even were it that God spoke to them, or
that's pretty common.
Heart.
Like, do you realize there are religious forms of epilepsy?
No, never heard of that.
Yeah, there's something called temporal lobe epilepsy, and that's if you have this kind of epilepsy, you will have the experience of your seizures making you think you're talking to God.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that. And also there is a brain injury. A guy worked on the railroad, Irish guy.
Yeah,
back
yeah, there's a lot of yeah. examples of this. There's
yeah.
quite a large collection of data about this now.
Yeah.
And actually, my mother has some of, like, she's had
some
diagnoses, but she has seizures in reaction to some of the stuff that she has allergies to, and she has had some of these kinds of temporal lobe. Like, she had one that were lucky enough to get on an MRI, and they basically got her thinking the small Asian woman MRI technician was Jesus that she was talking to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
and that's one of the
examples.
Recorded MRIs of, like, there's activity happening in that region of the brain, and so, like, they know it wasn't Jesus she was talking to because that's all on film.
No, definitely a lot of examples of brain damage and severe head trauma that...
This isn't an injury.
Yeah, well,
there's
variations. Yeah, all different variations there. Grimner, I'll remember you as long as I'm alive, I'll guarantee you. But, yeah,
and
you have...
My mom, by the way, is not
can,
the annoying sort of atheist. She's the really hardcore fundamentalist sort of Christian that is trying to square this with what she interprets as the valid parts of her faith and religious experience. And, yeah, so...
Yeah, certainly.
This is a difficult conversation and one that I have to tread lightly on because I still love her. She's still my mother. I disagree about what the factual basis of some of these things are, but I know she has real experiences that I just don't have access to.
Right.
So I have to actually treat that respectfully.
And who's to say that those have not peaked and tuned a channel and connection, and it maybe she really is, right, seeing that.
Well, everybody's very sure that the MRI technician is not Jesus,
well,
still.
I understand, but I'm saying that right there examples different types of brain expression. Now,
well, the problem
to
is
go,
that these
well,
experiences are pretty universally. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, where I was going and where I started way back when is to say that a person... Now, whether they be whatever denomination, and I'll stay into the Christian and say Jehovah Witness or Mormon or Seventh-day Adventist or Baptist, whatever. So they all have a different idea. And who's to say that part of that they have, that connection, you know, just because they have extra to draw from and understanding and things that were written down by other folks. But when it comes to, you know, to saying go kill a Muslim, you know.
Well, we have examples of things in Christian mythology that make it bad for the world. Like saying that AIDS is bad but condoms are more immoral.
Sure.
Like that's just bad for the world. That's cost hundreds of thousands of lives in Africa in just the last 10 or 15 years alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
that
right.
kind of thing is an example of Christian mythology being bad for the world.
You can also
I think it's important to point these things out. It's not that Christians are bad people. It's their efforts at being good that make them say shit like this.
Well, they get, they get into a trap. They're boxed in there, and they have these words that were interpreted to them by somebody else, and so there they are boxed in. In the same hand, you have the people that would say no to abortion and then say no to the migrants coming here. From problems created by the military and industrial complex of America. If we was really seeking to solve the problem of the migrants, because, you know, migrants come and go and have been for a very long time. And matter of fact, many with their ancestors from this very land. But anyway, so they come.
Can I comment that I've never seen a Native American bitching about migrants coming in and... They seem to be the only ones with any right to.
Well, I don't know what type of experience.
I'm happy to admit I must have just not seen the ones that have.
Yeah.
But
I don't know what type of experience you have in as far as interacting with other ethnicities and so forth.
I mean, can I say that my kids are half white?
Huh?
Yeah, I have half Thai kids.
half Thai?
Yeah, I lived in Thailand for 8 years. I was originally a missionary there short term and kind of wound up staying for a couple of years longer term.
Cool.
And then met their mom and that all happened, and we've had a family business for a while, and then it kind of went under, and I kind of came back home.
My niece's mother is from Guatemala. I'm definitely not anti-migration by any means.
My kids have dual citizenship, so I take the shit. I've been an illegal immigrant. I take this shit very seriously.
Yeah. Well, I think if a person goes to a place and they're welcome there by a person, and it doesn't need to be a government or a state, or especially not somebody standing there in fatigues and armed up to and setting traps for people that's trying to come here. Some evil people, you know, and then claim the greatness of their God.
Because you have to have an invisible friend to think that you'll get away with something like that.
Well, I mean, you pigeonhole. Well,
you don't have to, but it helps.
I mean, because like I say, I believe in God, and I'm very logical and scientific about it. I mean, there's great evidence to me in the existence of God, and then not only physical evidence that I see, and spiritual personal evidence that I felt throughout my life in confirmation.
Those are real experiences.
Yeah, but there's also scientific examples. There's just...
Can you give me an example of one?
Yeah, you cannot... the second law of thermodynamics will leave you with heat gas.
Oh, this is one of my favorite dumb ones that young Earth creationists give about, you know, Earth proves that God exists because of the second law of thermodynamics.
No.
And it doesn't apply.
The
because
universe,
thermodynamics, the second law,
the universe,
applies to closed
listen,
systems, and
listen,
Earth is an open system.
That's, I'm not confining it to the Earth. Now, listen. You got the whole universe. This is what I'm talking about, right? And universe means una, one, and verse is word. One word, which I find interesting. So, anyways, were the universe eternal, it would have already reached its heat death. So, I mean, it has to have a beginning. And where do you have...
you
got to have something to make something.
We know the beginning was about 13.7 billion years ago, according to the last figure that I saw.
We don't know.
Have you looked into the Big Bang at all? Can you explain to me where it happened?
Yeah, it was... And that has changed and evolved over time. It was...
Okay, so where
did
the Big Bang happen?
It was a ball, and it got smaller and smaller, and finally it was the size of a period at the end of a sentence. And then, eventually, it was down to absolutely nothing there in the beginning,
well, that was the
and
increasing
it exploded.
Then
it exploded and created everything. Now, you cannot create...
Well, the shrinking thing is
debatable.
Stop and
listen to me. Now listen, let me go through it. So you can't start with something and come up with something. You have to have an outside source for creation.
False.
No, I don't know how it would be.
False. It is particles pop into and out of existence in a vacuum in space all the time. So then, like, between 1% and 3% of the fuzz on your TV comes from that.
To your perception, because there's so much outside our range of perception. I mean, ours is very minuscule. Even comparing certain senses to other animals, like a dog, in vision and hearing and scent and so forth. So, you got running outside the bounds here, and, you know, let's kind of walk
along. I mean, this is a pretty good bound. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to take it outside the universe and talk about stuff that
So tell me how then that there could be existence without having had been created.
Because particles pop into existence all the time, and they don't seem to care whether we think they do or not. I've got the link in the chat right now.
Your perception.
Sometimes vacuum can yield flashes of light. Article title: February 12, 2013.
I got it open. Yeah, that doesn't mean nothing. Not all that says is those are only perceptions that you're getting. Where do they travel?
Well, they're measurements. I saw a flash. It's a
measurement. And what they're doing, they're seeing it come enter via whatever conduit it rides through, and then goes on and traverses about its way through. It's a journey through the universe or wherever it is to go. To say that we see it and then we see it gone does not mean that it's newly created, popping up.
No. But they can do the math and figure out where it came from, and they can see it created in space and going out in space, and know it was coming into and going out of existence and leaving a very specific radio signature.
So you've seen it come in and seen it go out. There's different
It's usually very, very small pieces, like hydrogen atoms.
Now, that doesn't mean it's being created. That just means that it's being observed.
No, it's popping into and out of existence in that empty space. That's exactly what it means.
Its existence comes into our perception because there's a point where you don't know where that came from.
Its existence comes into this place where it has not been.
These guys got pictures of faraway planets in vivid detail, and all they've got is pixelation. So there's a lot of extrapolation and interpretation.
Well, the artist renderings of what they imagine the faraway planets to look like should not be taken as photographs.
Yeah, right.
Is the first thing I would say. Because that's a lot of people, like I made that mistake for a long time until I learned, oh, they just have a couple of pixels of this thing and they can kind of see it traversing in front of this star, or they can see this star wobbling a certain amount from the planet's gravity. Like that's how they're doing these measurements and finding these things. And everywhere they look, they find them. So it looks like planets are not a special thing.
They don't. Yeah, they don't know the origin of these particles. All they see is coming in. So there's no. Takes a lot of faith in science, and I'm going to tell you.
The use of science is the rejection of faith. It's using something that you can test and verify.
True science, absolutely.
And using the data about it instead of saying, "I hope this is true, and therefore I'm going to treat it as true." Yeah, it's the opposite of faith.
Absolutely, but science, best science says now is that absolutely a tool of propaganda. There's so much disinformation.
Oh yeah, that absolutely does happen.
They follow. They follow the agenda.
Listen,
let me tell you, when scientists break off from the accepted mainstream, then they're ostracized, and it's gone on for many, many decades into the past couple centuries of this great drive to discover. All the way back, from Darwin and Piltdown Man, the
fake theory
was
understood about 50 years before it became conventional mainstream scientific wisdom.
What was?
Plate tectonic theory. So, like, the giant plates of stone that are bumping up against each other and along the faults of which are what cause earthquakes and volcanoes and all that stuff.
That
was understood. There was, I think it was a particular, I can't remember his name right now. We should look this up. But it was, I think it was a German scientist, and I think he died at the North Pole doing yet another test to prove this type of thing.
Well, there's also evidence of plate tectonic collapse. You've got cities out under the seas just laid down out there. There's different
ideas on species. There's apparently
there's different ideas of Pangaea in this plate tectonic plate shift. In over many, many eons that they came. But
Have you heard of Göbekli Tepe?
The truth is, if you look, some of these would have to have been to fit. You'd have to twist a little bit. But what you do see is the fossil record and consistent across and around the world, laid down through across nations and through countries and across the seas and into other continents. You can see the same strata in Biloxi, in the Biloxi River in Texas, as you will over in the White Cliffs of Dover. What do you find that's consistent is mass, first of all, mass extermination and never nothing new coming into existence. We don't ever have any new animals. We have less and less.
Yeah, we do.
Less.
Rabbits didn't exist around the time there were dinosaurs.
So you say. There's evidence of human.
Giant cats.
There's lots of evidence.
We have epochs of different kinds of predominant organisms, and quite a lot of these different epochs.
No,
mammals were big before dinosaurs.
Yeah, you're making this as a fact by the fact that these creatures are found in certain strata. They say this strata is old because it contains old fossils, and we know the fossils are old because they're in old rock. This is circular reasoning,
I
want to give you an example here of sorting. Now, you have what's called conglomerates. It's rocks. It's like cement. They're boulders and pebbles.
Yeah, it's called matrix when they refer to it.
So,
if
you look at the Grand Canyon, so they say it took all these years for a river to climb up the mountain, first of all, to get to the top, to flow down, to carve it out.
It didn't climb the mountain is the first thing.
No, because it was,
it was
gap.
Flat ground at the
listen,
time.
If you,
it was
if you ever,
at the riverbed.
If you ever see
it was cutting down from there.
Listen, the river is there as the result of the canyon. The canyon's not there as a result of the river. Now, let me tell you, if you've ever seen a dam breach, on a pond, for instance, you know, how it rips in the rapid water. You can see all sorts of examples of cavitation. But I tell you that if it was a big mountain right there, you got the upper and the lower kebab, that is, and I don't know what, but there was a rupture and a split. And that was a humongous inland lake that flowed through there and ripped it out. It ripped a hole through the mountains, and that made the Grand Canyon. It deposited thousands of feet of sediment for many miles.
The first problem with that is those thousands of feet of sediment, one, they would have been loose sediment and not stayed fused together as rock, and two, they would not have gone together in layers.
You know, they come apart as they were ripped apart out of the mountain and then being laid down under compression.
No. Like, they wouldn't disperse over a wide area and
you may not have any idea of the size of that hole through those mountains of the Grand Canyon. It's not a hole in the ground. It's a rip through a mountain.
It's miles straight down.
It's a mile straight up.
Right.
Yeah, it's not, it didn't dig
down. A mile
down.
Vertical distance of hole.
Right.
A fucking hole in the ground. Right. We eventually look at it from space, but yeah.
10 miles across, on average a mile deep, and I forget how long. Yeah. Well, here's an interesting bit of fact for you. So if you took all the people in the world and stacked them up in like cordwood into the Grand Canyon, do you think you'd fill it up?
No.
Damn it.
There's not that many people.
Yeah. You wouldn't. I don't believe you could even dam back just the initial breach. Am I gone?
I mean, not with the volume. Maybe if everybody had the American diet, maybe we could fill up half of it.
Hold on a minute. I think we got lost here. Let me check the button. It says connecting. All right, so we're off air here. Reconnecting there. Right. Hold on just a minute.
But yeah, it's not the oldest geological thing. It's only a couple of million years old. Like, do you realize that there are no mountains around that were around when dinosaurs were around? Like, not one?
Well, that goes a lot further. I'm going to kill this and try to open it back up.
Okay.
Hold on here. Let me try to pull her back. See, do that connect. Why did I not? It says connected. Huh. Let me tap in here. I guess I had to go push a pause there. Well, we have waited and now come back as the servers are still down. The butt is broken. But we're going to come back and finish this off air and close up. So, Skoda, where'd you like to pin to point and bear and leave leave behind?
Yeah, and it's how do we even continue the thread? Like, what were we talking about when it cut off? I don't know if either of us knows at this point.
Yeah, we're in somewhere between...
Something about abortion.
Abortion, God, and the existence of whether there be a soul or where life is and where it begins and ends.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so I'm the annoying atheist. I don't have a God to say, this is good, this is bad. I just don't have that. It's not a set of reasoning that I can rely on, so I have to actually reason through what's the benefit, how does it affect happiness, how does it affect your potential for planning and making your own decisions, how does it affect your health kind of thing. Does it take away your life or not? And it's just, to me, even if there's not an objective standard of morality, you can still make objective comparisons without that. So it's just, I'm try to make those comparisons. It's just, I think morality is really a computational problem, not a religious one. It's not, there's nothing supernatural about it. You're just optimizing the experiences of things that have experiences. But on that basis, what is abortion? It's abbreviating a potential human life, and that's kind of the opposite of the point of human life. Is like, we're trying to propagate, we want to have more of us and theoretically continue this experiment of whatever it is we are and culture and civilization and all of these fun, awesome things. And order to make an argument for abortion, it has to have some kind of clear value. And the value of it is something that's very ugly. It's one of the, you're taking away a life in order to save a different life. Or you're taking away the potential for a life because it's just not convenient for the other life that would play host to it. And so it's one of those really difficult conversations to have. But I think it fundamentally depends on a standard for morality where we're considering the moral implications for things that can actually experience those outcomes. And at a certain point, a fetus gets that, but it doesn't start out having that. And there's also the, like, how do we talk about people with, you know, traumatic brain injuries or who are brain dead? Like, it's the same kind of thing. Like, it's the same kind of conversation, because I don't think there's anything there to experience anything. Like, the lights are on, but the people have left the building sort of deal. So even though there's electricity in the building, it's not a crime if that building gets demolished and, like, the next building gets built in its place, because there's only so much square footage in the city type of thing. And so, yeah, that's not the most pro-abortion argument, but it's one that considers the potential of the people that would come out of it, the experience of the people that do come out of it happening, because it's not like the mom has the abortion and decides she's never going to have kids, because, like, why not just get a hysterectomy, have one operation ever, be done. So this is a difficult conversation. So it's one of those things, like, the people without the proper definitions should definitely not be making up definitions for everybody else, and the people without the information should not be deciding for everybody else. And basically, I think the legislation, no matter which direction it's in, is harmful, because it should be something that a doctor does, not a politician.
Yeah, I will say that there comes times in, for instance, in tubal pregnancies, for instance, that it is not, the baby's not, life is not viable.
Yeah, it's not that there's something wrong with the baby, it's that there's something wrong with the pregnancy.
Right, where it cannot come to full term, and there's cases where medically, yes, that there comes that time and choice and decision.
Yeah, and also, like, the whole contraceptive nature of it. Like, if you're doing contraceptive stuff with abortions, you're basically a loser who's doing contraception badly.
Very much.
You, like, one, there's condoms. Two, there's pills. Three, there's the morning after pill, even if you forget those first two things, so that you never get to the point where you're vacuuming out a living, viable baby.
Right. Yeah, so medically...
Medically, too many stops along the way. Go ahead.
Okay. I'll go ahead and let you close, and then I'll run out in the end, and if you want to come back with questions or something, then I'll just run out. If you want to add something right now,
Go ahead, add what you want to add, okay. And, like, if I got anything to add, I'll say it, but I don't think so. I think that's a decent enough place to stop.
Good. So, well, as I say, there's... a place when life is not viable, like a run-over dog, there might be a time to put an end to that existence of that soul, where it no longer exists. It goes back as all flesh is grass and back into the ground. The idea that creation exists ex nihilo, out of nothing, I find... it doesn't make sense to say that there could be not be a creator. Where that experience is found is in to the individual. I think we all have an inner voice. Sometimes those voices become broken and jumbled into anything from the traumatic brain injuries or drugs, any number of things that could cause about malfunction in the brain that would cause misinterpretation. I think there is built in us this conscience, and like I say, sometimes it becomes broken in people, whether it be by hardening them heart, their own heart, or having an occurrence that happened to them. There's no line to cross. There's a direction, and it's pivotal. And there's only a central point of what is absolute, determinable as right and good. Sometimes you have to come into question. And stop and pause and perhaps question your own ideologies and notions, for sure. So as we travel through this life and we share it with others, it is to well, do as you will, as long as what you do ain't doing wrong to somebody else. This is this idea of free will. We're responsible to fix our woes. We're in a world that is is governed in the end by death. We have a time that we spend here, and then we go back into the ground, or wherever you get stuffed in a hole, or burnt up, or rot away on the lone prairie. There'd be a song to sing about that, about bury me not on the lone prairie, but
I think we've heard that one.
Well, this is my thought tonight, is in that it's very important to have discussion, and especially when people have supposed differing ideas and opposing viewpoints. So this is, I found good example in doing this while I've been doing radio, and some people I communicate with that are far to the left of where I stand and far to the right of where I stand, and on the opposite end as well. That's what I do. I think talking is the only way for sure that we might move forward with peace as the goal, and to live together peaceably. That's it.
Yeah, because it's one of those, like, I think it's pretty much the same on both the far left and the far right. The experience I have with both far ends of the spectrum is that ultimately everybody wants gay married couples to be able to defend their pot plants with guns.
Well, whatever two people do. Now, I will put it to this point. In the law, as legal, there is a contractual age of 18. So I don't think you ought to be able to engage in any kind of congress or intercourse with that would require contract otherwise.
It's one of those, like, that's a difficult conversation to have, too, because one, any rules are going to be bad because there's just not a way for grown-ups to stop kids from having sex if that's what their intention is.
Well, there's definitely a blur to that line, because, like, a kid turns 18 and his girlfriend's 17 or 16, you know, that imaginary line there. And to go back, you know, into history, that as girls became prepubescent, they were, you know, apt to be married off. But the times have changed. We live in a modern world where that's you know, there's certain bounds that they do get blurred, like you're saying there. There is
And it's one of those weird things where it's the delta of age of the mother. How do I say this? Like, the success of the child in relation to the age of the mother is favoring older mothers. Let's put it that way. Because it's like, your kid is more likely to be born underweight if you're a young teenage mother type thing. And that's, like, that becomes less and less the case the older the mother gets. Because the more competent she is, the more financially established and able to see to her own needs and, you know, get those prenatal vitamins and all of that nutrition and all that stuff taken care of.
Yeah, well, the world's set up against us. It's, you know, we don't have food we go get from the grocery store most generally. We're getting feed, which that's what they call a feedlot for cattle. And we're getting...
Well, I mean, that's anthropically part of the condition no matter what, right? Yeah. Like, even if there is a God that made this universe this way on purpose, we're on a floating dust speck in the middle of a giant empty room that we can't get to, mostly.
You know, I went to a planetarium, and I was amazed at the complexity of the system that we're encompassed in right here. And outside, throughout what's been observed or shown to have been observed in the universe, is all in chaos. Things spinning, colliding. And
yes and no. There's actually, like, I wanted to come back to this. There's a couple of physics mind fucks that it seems like you haven't had yet. Like, where did the Big Bang happen thing? That's kind of a trick question. Because the answer is everywhere. If you're in the universe, that universe is the universe that had a Big Bang. And so, by definition, you are looking outward in, you know, three dimensions at the expansion of space from where you are. So it's you can think of it as spherical from where you stand, but it's not quite as simple as that.
You would be somewhere in the periphery, in the wherever.
Yeah, so like the metaphor that I use is, if you consider it like a room, And, like, it, the room was stuffed full of all of the stuff that there is, and you just think of it, like, it was a smaller room, it's got the same amount of stuff in it, and now it's a bigger room. And the stuff is pushing itself away, you know, from the center outwards as the room expands outwards and becomes a bigger room, you know, floor further away from the ceiling, walls further apart type thing.
You know, and it's such a huge expanse of a described explosion such as that. It still needs a source.
No. That's the other thing is, like, this is just momentum. Because we're seeing everything accelerate away. The further away something is from us, the faster away it is starting to move.
Well, you've got the red light.
The red light phase shift. So do you understand that?
Yes, the blue and the red and the direction and speed, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's the same as, like, the train's horn type thing. And that's not totally mysterious to you if I say it. Like, should we spell this out so that, like, is this going to be in the podcast that people are listening to?
Yeah, no, we can leave it at that because that would be going much deeper into stuff that I haven't looked at in so long that I wouldn't have much topic to draw on.
Yeah, but
I understand,
like,
the basic there, the idea and what it describes. And
the light. I don't know, because it's one of those... I don't want to be the asshole of saying you're an idiot for believing in God, and that's not the message, and that's not what I'm saying when I'm trying to make the next point. But saying that it's intuitive to us to feel like there's a God does not mean that there's a God. Because it's intuitive to us to feel like the earth is flat and ground is a flat plane that we walk around on, and it's like rectangles and we're standing up from it, and it's always like that. So that's an intuitive thing, and so it's possible for people, even to, there is today a flat earth conspiracy group thing that thinks the round earth is a big pile of bullshit. And that's a thing that exists because it's possible for us to think a thing and feel a thing that is not necessarily in relation to reality around us. It's just a close enough approximation that it's useful to us at the scale at which we live.
Yeah, I looked rather closely at that flat earth and went through all that people had to say. I say that that we're on a globe, but, you know, in the science fiction apocalyptic book that's being written in my head, it'll probably never go to paper, but the world is flat. But there's also all kinds of other these ideas and notions. I want to compile them and throw them all in there with just a little bit of everything. It's a zombie apocalypse, so that's, I like that genre. But here we are in this old world, and I really got to wonder. Now, NASA scientists will tell you that they have forgotten how to go to the moon, and they don't know how they got through that the radiation belt. Was it the Van, what is it? The radiation belt, Van Meter.
I know what you're talking about. What's it called?
Van Meter, I'm thinking of Donna's name. The Van... I get tongue-tied and stuck in a word and it won't come out. Anyways, it's that... I almost said it, too. Van Halen, I was going to say.
Van Allen, yeah.
Anyway, so I wonder how... Was it a fake? Did they go to the moon? Did they fake it?
Well, they went out around the North Pole.
Huh? Oh, and yeah, I'm not talking about the launch trajectory. I'm talking about... How did they get out of the? Because they say now, well, we don't know how to get through this radiation belt.
No, you don't. That's one of those.
You've got to go through it. There's no going around it. It's out there, as far as I know.
Well, it's out there, but there are thinner sections of it, and those are closer to the poles. And so, from the North American continent, north, closer to Greenland and Canada, and you go out through it there, where it's the shortest path out, right. And then you come back down to a flat trajectory around Earth, like around the pole of Earth and the moon together.
Yeah, I'm
so
not
you're coming
talking,
around
talking,
the north end of the moon.
Yeah, I'm not talking about escape velocity and getting out of Earth's pool in the simplest path, but out there in space, way out yonder between here and the moon, is a Van Allen. Is that it? Van Allen radiation.
No, I'm looking at a diagram of it right now. And, like, there's a... Here, let's pull up the Neil deGrasse Tyson explanation, because he's talked about this.
That's Van Allen. That's why I can say that.
Went around the Van Allen belt. Because let's see what comes up. Neil deGrasse Tyson, we went to the moon and discovered the Earth. That's a very democratic title.
Well, all I'm telling you is that NASA, and I've heard it said right out of the mouth there with the whole NASA thing across the bottom and all that, that they just don't know how to get back to the moon and get through this here.
Well, it's not that they don't know how. It's that the expenses of going are not overcome. And, like, there's just not something new to do there. There's not, like, really wants a moon base unless they're afraid China's going to get one first type of thing. So it's really hard to get that kind of a thing funded. And there's nothing really new that they can show that would be valuable to discover from the moon. Because they, according to NASA, moon is basically made of the same stuff as Earth.
I think I remember something about they say they thought it was a chunk knocked out or something one time.
Yeah, because they know there was another solar body that collided with the Earth, and that collision threw a huge chunk of the Earth's crust into orbit, and so Earth had a ring for a little while, and that coalesced into the moon.
Yeah, we've heard all of that. But anyways,
yeah.
That was just touching on something. I think, in my opinion, that first, at least the first 1969 July, was it 20th, or I believe it was, yeah, that they landed on the moon. I think there's a good chance they could have faked that because they had this space race to win. So, I mean, it's not crazy to say.
I mean, were you born then?
Yeah, I was alive. I seen them landing on the moon. I was watching it as a little boy on black and white TV.
So do you remember that the Mir spacecraft, the first satellite in orbit, do you remember what that was?
No, don't call specifics here. I know that...
That's kind of one of those important details. The Mir spacecraft was...
I'm just talking about when they stepped out on the moon, one giant... You know, that was... everybody, I think, that was of age of, knowing, probably remember it, like 9-11 when that happened, you know?
Yeah.
Some things stay in your mind. And then other things you think you recall and you've seen them before, the deja vu and all that, but whatever, that's all.
Yeah, human memory is kind of shitty.
Yeah, it really, really, really is. Yeah, witnesses
are... It's also why witness testimony is the least reliable in the court of law.
Absolutely it is. Yeah. Anyways, hey, let's tune this out. I'll let you finish up a little bit here, anything you have to say, and then I'm going to go out and run out to my radio log over here and shut her down.
No, I think we're good, dude. Let's continue this conversation next time and do it all there.
Yeah, we'll get together and talk about some other stuff where we want to bear focus to.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
All right, and I'll have it'll be a while. I'll have to get with Grim and get over here and compress and tag everything, and then I'll give you the link here where you can pick up the audio here and see what I put into the radio log.
Gotcha. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Of course.
Appreciate it.
All right, and I think we're hanging up now, and you go keep kicking ass, okay?
All right, thanks, bud.
Cheers.
Cheerio. All right. Well, I'm going to be moving just a little bit stuff around here, but I want to run right back through this here. I've got some links down here. I got to bring a couple bit back again. And down at the bottom, a little fun I'm having with some nesting clowns I've come to call these Scaramouche. Who is this poor boy Scaramouche, and does he do the Fandango? Well, I say, this is me speaking, super secret identity. Shh. 'Tis true I come to discover secrets, but more to trust than suspect. Fitly nothing but words gratify me, and that's what I say and what I do here, and try to pull them out and put them in place. Today is thus far titled Life and Death, Blurred and Bloody in Black and White. On Real Liberty Media, this is, went off air for a while, and then the server ain't back up, so I'm going to tune this out and for the recording, so nobody's listening right now but me. Huh? What'd you say? In the What Matters Ponder Gander Radio Writing Series, I have Blurred Lines, Maximum Level of Compose, and it's laid down and low. Well, it's like how high can you stack it? What can you put up on there? Well, I'll tell you this, what Steve did a cover, a Lungs Van Zant cover. We'll tell the world we tried. Well, that's the least we can do. And I'm going to run back through here what I did that's broken up in the past through this broadcast and put it all together. And I find here things exist either because they have recently come into existence or because they have qualities that make them unlikely to be destroyed in the past. Richard Dawkins. In from the 14th Dalai Lama of Tibet, he says it's really the real picture we need to see in front of us. Just because 5 minutes after your birth, they decide your name, nationality, religion, and sect, and you spend the rest of your life defending something you didn't even choose, doesn't make you a religion judge. No one can solve the issue, and certainly not prayers. We need to solve the problem. The problems, as the Dalai Lama states, we are asking God to solve it, and it is illogical. God would say, solve it yourself, because you created it in the first place. Well, that's kind of where I stand. There's also faith and hope in ideas that pleading and prayers will bring mercy or bring things needed. I believe that. I've seen it happen. That's my perception. I won't tell anybody else they got to believe what I believe. Well, I'm going to go here to Hal Anthony. Apparently, principle and responsibility are not popular where breads and circuses are made. Where they're made readily available as well, that is. And to create the societal equivalents of a lady, I can say it right, Labyrinth junk lady. Yes. What you going to do with all that junk in your trunk? Huh? Well, responsibilities, busyness. Rouse the bee's buzz. The toil and gain of life's daily bread. And circuses rouse crowds to glee. The pain drawn frown. The responsibility to suffer as the sad clown of a face is just and only ordinary. And everyday business is principal. Well, it seems to be. Sometimes it's exampled rather well like that. So what is this breads and circuses? The breads is the need. That's controlled. Yeah, well, there's big famous people that said, you know, control the food and you control the population. Well, what's the creed? What do we find that strives people in desire, disdain, in wanting, in frivolous, just in time? Use it up, throw it away. Bic Leiter society, I call it. Want and ruin is made to create societal acceptance. Amaze, amazement, a ruse. Amuse, amusement, a ruse as well. And an arousement, a reaction. And then this is the problem, action, solution. Apply it all the time. Get you the right stimuli and you jump like a frog on a hot plate. Well, popular apparent principle and responsibility available equivalents, that's what to look at there. In comparison. And look for what is obviously right and obviously wrong to start with. That's the best way of starting to sort it out, I say. The ponder-gander way. It's a wonder in a wanderland. Well, take me by the hand and lead me to the land that you understand, ocean man. Lost lingo. What matters worldwide? This is a yellow site, this picture here, lost lingo and words. Emojis have become a favorite rhetorical weapon of choice, claimed by some as a sign of how the culture has degraded. Say what you will about not being a proper language. I like it, and I think it has become proper. As the tune has been told, by words or weird faces, in type or strange places. Best language, has language lost its luster? What do we know or think we know? What's being said and how can we say it? We might be saying the same words, but do we speak the same language. It's a truism that we live in an age of sound bites and quick quips. Even better, anything that fits into 140 characters or less. I believe that's what Twitter has, 140. Excuse me. Anyone. Anyone can do it. I'm going to have to blow this up. Wait, it's not a bomb. Hold on. Did I go too big? I think I did. Whoa, it's huge. Huge. It's great, really great. Love it. Excellent. Really good. Oh, back to here. Anyone can do it in our contemporary simplified society and redundantly so. That's what it says. Does it make communication easier than ever? For most, yeah. It's simply the way we live. Communication. Decontextualized and fragmented. And it blurs. The fuel experience, I'm going to skip that because it's too small. Ideas, your eyes are probably better than mine. Find it over here at the our log. If you're listening elsewhere, BitChute, Speaker, YouTube, reallibertymedia.com/author/Vine for Vinny, me. Ideas provided for us from birth in a nature of trust and confidence have compartmentalized into fiduciaries and fraud. We have the responsibility to no longer be predefined, redefined, and classified by names or notions. Being owned by misdirection or mere miscomprehension, confined in separation by a lost lingo. As we know, there are some knowns. There are some things we don't know. We know. We also know that there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know. Rumsfeld's answer was not just an evasion or misrepresentation. It was a non-answer. Many people believe the reply to be brilliant. I tend to think otherwise. Are we not men? They tell us we have lost our tails, evolving up from little snails. Jack Homo from Devo. Person here says, out of ancient Egyptian literature, it was, if law is laid waste and order destroyed, no poor man can survive when he is robbed. Justice does not address him. That's right. Peace is settled in law. Settlement. That's what law is to bring, and that is to correct any harm. Ticks and tocks, bits and fits of life's little knocks, come big timely hits. Born in time, you better hurry, thinking of gifts not given away. Looking good together, don't close your eyes. Time is short, corked in a bottle. The good and bad, timely in manner. Life is unafraid, escape alarm and confusion, minute by minute. You're almost there. Give a sweet, in a timeless manner, awakened in time to look in the mirror, concerned in measures, watching its cries, going for broke, inheritance gambled, lost choices, and the cost more than dollars. This is in a language and a time, I suppose it to say. Mean/time of Grimmage. Greenville. I can't say it because I've stuck my tongue. But meantime of Greenwich is where it is and how it's said. It's sound-toned is what it is. It's sound-toned time zone. Laid down low. I hear to put here to listen from Steve. I know his songs. I've played a few of his songs pre-broadcast tuning up. This here is From a Broken Home to an Unmarked Grave. Steve Talbot. Now, Chiskura was along here, and we kind of kicked back and forth some ideas and walked through them, and, well, we got through some stuff and come out on the same position, no doubt, than where we come in at. But that of From a Broken Home on down into where, what other stems the society, failed society, and what, well, we'll go back and find the cause, first of all. But we see the abortion, and we spoke on abortion in the, well, the partial birth in trying to define as when a life is viable, and you know, when indeed some people aren't really independent and able to take care of themselves ever, if whether it be mental or physical deficiency or accident that have brought them to that. But I say that life inside is life. And once it started growing, it's life. It's what will it become? What is it? Has that chance to go back up in there to what's his name? Dawkins or Richard up there? And what did he say? And up here at the top, I started out right there below where I started piling all this maximum level of composed. He said things exist either because they have recently come into existence or because they have qualities that make them unlikely to be destroyed in the past. So we have this continuation of and proliferation of the human flesh is man going along. Then we come to points where the removal of life. Is there sometimes a life unviable that needs to be removed, vacated to in saving the life of the host, the mother? Well, down through here, I'm going to break these down where they're not so big, but there's one here. Liberals excited to sign a petition protecting unborn eagles. Then asked about unborn humans. Babies are gross. It's from Freedom Outpost under WordPress. This is some stuff I pulled here, and it was on some previous conversation with Chiskura, and because his presentation, presenting that, well, where does the combination lie? Well, obviously the sperm to the egg, but here in the Bible, it was, there's topics on spilling your seed on the ground. Well, that was in masturbation, not contraception admonished. As we go on along, I pulled some more lines out. It's evident, and I'm going to move this up to the top, and I think I already did. It's evident. It's right in front of me in black and white and red. And this is bloodied. Yes, bruised, blurred, and bloody in this discussion. Because mostly you're going to probably start with the opinion you started with and come out on the other end the same. But in interest of discussion and sharing that information, I invited Chiskura. He's with recently come to over to the Real Liberty Media Chat, a member of a few other folks in New Radio last night, matter of fact, Poopster and Prince, Power Hour. And I had some contention with some of the things they said last night, but hey, everybody should speak and speak boldly, speak loudly. I get down here to the bottom where I have a building these nesting clowns like the Russian nesting dolls. But these are things I'm making out of lines and figures and symbols and whatnot. Stacking them up. It's a headliner. It's nesting clowns with a crown, a cap on your head. Yeah, well, it's just true to life. Come to discover secrets. Yes, more to trust than suspect. Fitly nothing but words gratify me. This is me, my super secret identity of a Capitani Zani. Now, let's see. I believe that leaves me wrapped up. I'll run to the bottom, and you'll know that Portmanteau Escaramouche is where the secret abode is of Escaramouche. And did I say abode wrong? What Matters to Ponder Again, a radio writing series with me, Vinny, Vincent Easley, to think and reason, raising expectations through thought-provoking episodes, standing in a gap, connecting voices. I did it today. It's been a while. Considering perspectives, I certainly do that. And allow those perspectives to air with me. That's broadcasting What Matters Worldwide. And here I be. Radio writing, it does... Let's see, try it again. Radio writing sounds great, less filling. LibertyMedia.com, author Vine, /author/Vine, to Pondaganda. I'll tell you, hey, tell YouTube to get bit. Matter of fact, if you're with me this long, do me a favor. If you got this on YouTube, give me a thumbs down right there. Then go down and give me something to comment. Now, if you don't go that far, give me the thumbs down, and at least that'll give me indication. Then come to... either go over to BitChute, first of all. Tell YouTube to get bit and get to BitChute, my friend. Yeah, I mean, YouTube has its use, but they're just full of sensory perception. No. They want to squash that. Well, you know, there's no need to censor. People ought to be responsible to wade through that to figure out if the world is round or flat. That's right. Get to BitChute.com, Real Liberty Media. This will park over there. I've got one over there, too, called What Matters Worldwide. And you can also find one in search of YouTube, Real Liberty Media. And, yes, please, do give a thumbs up or subscribe. But not on this one. Yeah, subscribe if you're not subscribed. But give me a thumbs down. This is September the 20th. And... life and death, blurred and bloody in black and white, on down through here. I'm going all the way to the bottom. BitChute, yep. Freedoms Network, it's a website and a social media place, and on Twitter, Real Liberty also, and RealLibertyMedia.com. Yeah, find Twitter, all kinds of places. There's a lot of links here. Probably need to add more. Well, I'm not going to say all that's below here. I'll only say that and the USA versus Bundy et al. Who I am, and where I was out there is at the standoff in 2014 and a witness at the federal trial in 2017 and dismissed with prejudice in 2018, first of the year there. Mistrial declared December the 20th of 2017. But I'm going to be starting back in because we're coming up to when the third... round of trials, which was the first here, Clive and Bundy and two of his sons, Ammon and Ryan, and then Ryan Payne were there on trial, and that's where he ended. Then the next guy is the third tier, which is supposed to have been the least guys that they charged stuff with. Oh man, how that works, superseding indictment, stacked, it's all rigged. I tell you, I was there at that trial. And I went up to Denver for Bruce Doucette's trial, and I just seen the atrocity, and I've talked about it. And so that's where I'm headed back in. This is the end of the In Black and White run series here. So I've kicked that about. I did some extras that are over on the Ponder Gander podcast player. You can find that link. You can just click it. It'll be here over on the radio log. And that is hashtagged. Capital R, L-O-G. That's for Real Liberty, and it's also for Real Liberty Radio, and it's also for Real Liberty Radio Writing. And it's a log, so there it is, the blog, and anyways, there it is. There's more information on to the Bundy, what's called the Battle of Bunkerville, it was called, and among other things. Called a peaceful pushback, occupational protest. Man, I got this thing blowed up so huge. Well, let me say to come on where you need to be over here Sunday is behind the woodshed. Hal Anthony, bringing sense, bringing the notice out of the news, and as a pathfinder where we see the path and the trodden path, that is, of this occupation upon us, and where... it's gone wrong, and not how to go win in court. As so many people misunderstand, about this whole concept of opening a can of whoop ass. Well, the best way to not get whooped is to not get fought. Well, to stay out of the reach, right? So as a pathfinder, we find how walking us through life and demonstrating the occupation and how they're moving about, out moves through and well, from news and into the what's called law and legal, and how that has been perverted. So seeing that to understand, and I tell you, I went around the country. I did a lot of things a lot different. Some of these people that do your First Amendment audit. Well, I had a nice little laminated piece of paper that give identification of myself and who I was and what I was doing. And I found that really worked rather well. Non-anonymous I am, that others I support 100%, their right to anonymity and to do as they're doing in the First Amendment audit. And as I said earlier in this broadcast, very important to that we be able to test, to call in redress, in grievance, to peaceably decline having ourselves is subjected to confiscation and theft and all that comes, kidnapping and held for ransom, whatnot, crimes they called without victim. And where law is turned taken by legal and used as manipulation to steal resources, and it's a big range war out there in the West going on. And I'll say, you know, some of the players on the other side, those big monies, I don't say that they're going to, if they were to get a hold of all this federally held land, that they would be right and just about it and not taking crap all over the place and tear things up. I certainly believe in preservation and conservation, but to say that I forget what the how many acres, thousands of acres, was the Gold Butte out where Clive and Bundy runs cattle in the Virgin River Valley, and up into the mountains on the mesas and all through. And I'm gonna tell you, I know about cattle, and I'm gonna tell you, they ain't hurt nothing, they ain't killed the turtle one. I'm telling you. Yes, it's a tortoise two-step. It's a cattle rattle. No moo in 92 and cattle free in 93. These were the slogans. They come out slowly out of the Endangered Species Act, and then back in further from that, step-by-step incremental control and a failure to maintain this transference of lands into the states where, I mean, hopefully... Well, you know, the government's full of cronies, so as soon as it's going somewhere and being taken by somebody, inside or out. So either way, it really is not look like a very winnable thing. So Hal Anthony right here, Real Liberty Media, noon o'clock on the Pacific. It's 3 p.m. Eastern at 12 o'clock Eastern. Grimner comes along. Get here 15 minutes earlier. You can hear that... Gravelly voice. Yeah, he's got a real cool voice. Like to listen to. Yeah, about 15 minutes till noon East Coast time. And he's tuning up for some blues, and then trivia comes along. Fast fingers. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. You got fast fingers and a sharp mind. Like to play trivia? Well, you got to have a good fast internet connection that helps too sometimes, because there's a lot of smart people playing. Anyways, come on over and visit tonight, the Freakers Ball. It'd be at 11 Eastern. And Moose Girl be along, I reckon, with Graham Near, far and wide. See why I can't say Greenwich Mean Time? I only said that accidentally. I bet I couldn't do it again. I'll be saying Greenwich Minute Time. Well, Grip, speaking of Graham Near, he's back on Mondays at 7 Eastern with Leftovers. Muse News. Roused and roused and kicked about. Might be old, might have some mold on it. Might stink and make you sick. But I'm going to tell you, reckon you ought to come have some. Come on over with Grimner. He's the mighty man about this channel that's built it up, this network, and given such a fine sight to see. I appreciate Grimner. Sure do. Grammy, Mary, and Flash have stepped away from the mic, time pending. So we'll be back Thursday with Poopster and Prince. These guys talk about cryptocurrencies and coins and whatnots. And had a guest on last night that he thought it what a person ought not have available to them, and designs of weaponry or arms. You know, but I think they was corrected a little bit and maybe felt some bit of shame. Well, I rolled it around and right back to the top and coming back down again. That ends at blurred lines, maximum level of composure. It's all piled up right here at the radio log and laid down and low. And all I can say is, well, tell the world that I tried. The words from the lungs that come out. There's links and all that stuff. If you're just listening over on one of them places, YouTube, whatnot, come on to the radio log right here. A Ponder Gander podcast. All the links here. And all this stuff. Make it so fun. I try to make it look nice to see. And I wish I had more ability at tools here. Maybe they exist. I'd like to make it like not just words, but shape the words into the world I want to see, to tell about anyways. All right. Let me go push a button. I reckon I'm done. Thanks, folks. We'll see you down the line.